We're by Tanya of Shimon Gamliel Omer. Do you have that?
It's a little
ches. A little ches, beginning of the line. Do you have a doctor, Svidal? Yeah. Tanya of Shimon Gamliel Omer. Shivas Yomim Shradim Shamim. If there were 7 days in which rain came down straight for low Pascha, and the rain didn't stop, so Yesh Bohem Kedei Revi'ah Shrishon Vishniyah. That includes both the first and second rains of the season. Tanya Rabbi Chiba Shem Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Lamedi Krosh Ma Revi'ah, why is the rain called Revi'ah? Reveal literally means to have relations. She revises all it. Excuse me. Makes the land fertile. It has relations with the land and makes the land fertile and causes it to grow. Okay. May Masai Nenim Vesorfi. From when can you have Hanoah from stuff out in the field, because the store. Excuse me. Oh no, I have a header which you probably don't have. I'm Rabbi Chanina, yeah. So we're talking about the stalks which are left out in the field. The stalks left out in the field, we send the Mishnah, after a while they get repulsive. And when they get the repulsive, they lose their Kedusha Shvius. So the Gemara misunderstands that right now. The Gemara understands that to mean that once the stuff out of the field gets repulsive, so even the stuff you have in your house loses its Kedusha Shvius. And that the Gemara says, I don't understand what's going on. Om Rabbi Chanina, Rechina asked the question really. Became a Chinesal Chamash and saw that once that which is out in the field goes bad, Hutamash buys that which is in the house is also permissible? How could that be? It's not bad, it's perfectly fine. So why is it lose the Kedusha Shvius? Tanya Rabbi Ishis Rabbi Yeshu learned, Afilu Acha Shol Shonim Osir Acha Yisrach. You're right. Even that which is left after 3 years, as long as it's indoors and hasn't gone bad, it's still prohibited. It's still Kedusha Shvius until it actually goes bad. So therefore, only that which is out in the field and goes back, that's bad. That's what loses its Kedusha Shvius. Okay? Tani Melitzer Breisel. Tevin Shol Shvius in Cherno Osabatit. You're not supposed to take the hay of Shvius and put it into pitch or tar as a building material, because that's not a proper use for that which is called Kedusha Shvius. However, Shirobati, what happens if you soaked it into a pitch, so a bottle, so then it already loses Kedusha Shvius because it's disgusting. Vushagavlo, as long as you mixed it in together well with the other components of the pitch. Similarly, Tamachal Shvius, Tei of Shemitah, Enos Masabakar, you don't put it into a pillow. Nosta Bakar, once you put it into a pillow, however, it loses its status. Vushiyosh and love, once you sleep on the pillow, it loses already its status. So Kedusha Shvius, and you're allowed to use it for anything you want, only after the fact. Right. Chachil, you shouldn't do it, but yeah, if you did it, it's okay. I mean, lose the Kedusha Shvius. Tanan. That's right. Tevin, Shol Shvius. The hay of Shvius Maushia also mishum tzvichim. If it grows wild during Shvius, do I say that it has the prohibition of tzvichim or not? Now, tzvichim generally is talking about something which is intended to grow, or even if you didn't intend to grow, but when it grows wild, you're afraid that somebody might cultivate it and claim that it was tzvichim, so therefore Chazal answered it. So the question is, does that apply to any type of a usage, in other words, even a grain which is not used for human consumption, such as hair, as hay, we're choshesh for spichim, or do I say that that's not true because the only thing I'm afraid a person will plant is not stuff which is going to make up hay, but rather stuff which is going to make up actual, food for human beings. Feed it to animals. Horses, yeah. Cows.
But not just lie on them like...
No.
Isn't there Kedusha Shvius on animal food?
Right, there is Kedusha Shvius. The question is whether there's an issue Svichim on animal food. But they're afraid you're going to plant it. So Rabbi Levi Tzatzan Biraya, Shol Rabbi Abba Barzavta, Rabbi Levi Tzatzan Biraya asked Rabbi Abba Barzavta, Shol, he said there's no halach of Svichim by hay. Amrav Zir, Rav Zir said, V'ana lo samchis alove, I didn't rely on his psak, Ishtal is the Elaine the Bay Carsona. and I asked the people who lived in Beikar Son or wherever that place was, and they said that in order to use Seder Shmita Nihigon, Nagin Avon, we used to be accustomed, Kenishin Tevin Mina Arbu Shmita, to gather the hay from before Shmita started, because they held that Shmita of hay is no, of Nesvichim of hay are also. Vikan Mechasrin, even when we didn't no longer had enough hay, Maisim and Shariah would bring from places which are permitted, in other words, places where Shmita was not applicable. So that sounds like Svichim of hay are prohibited. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Masnisa Amarosh Shumotar. The following Brisa tells us that the Svichim of hay are permissible. The Tanya we learn, Tatsaboyim, people who dye garments for a living, Babatai, people who fatten up geese for a living, Lochim Mursa, they can take this animal fodder called Mursan, which is similar to Gritei, Mikolatam, from any individual during Shemitah Veina Choshish. In Choshim, they're not afraid that it's something which is Kedusha Shvius. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Sovar Meima, Rabbi Yirmiyah understood this to mean, Afilu Mina Choshud. The intimate of somebody is definitely suspect to give you Svichim, nonetheless, there must not be an Isser Svichim in these commodities, and therefore, one is allowed to buy or harvest them during Shemitah. Says the Gemara, no. Amrle Rabbi Yasser said, it ain't necessarily so. Lamru ela b'sheni odeim choshuim la. The only time you could buy hay from this individual is you don't know he's a suspect or not. Avodavar boris yuchoshim, but it's clearly a suspect, and therefore his stuff might well be svichim. Also, then staka prohibited to buy hay from him. Rabbi Shammai said, Masnisa Omer Shuasar. The Pine Bites teaches us also that it's also to take svichim of two grain of hay. Svichim of hay or osir. Where does it teach us this? The Tanina Tama we learned over there. If you had a part of a tilson that's a fenugreek plant fall into wine, so it causes that wine to take on the status of the fenugreek, whatever it was, Shemitah stuff or Kiliah Kerem or Hektish. That's if it gives and imparts a taste. What parts impart a taste? Im yesh bazera uva eitz kedei li tein tam. If the fenugreek seed and the fenugreek tree are sufficiently strong that together they give off the fragrance of the fenugreek. Be that as it may, so says the Gemara, here's the proof. I hear you're causing the wine to be lost. In other words, if some of the fenugreek of Shemitah or of Kilei Kerem falls into the pit, so you're causing a loss, right? Learning some abid as a yain. I'm sorry. Learning some abid yain. I put in a little line here in my notes, so I'm reading. Getting stuck in it. Learning some abid ochli behema. You're causing a loss to the wine by the fenugreek stalk, which is tantamount to hay. So we see that fenugreek stalk, i.e., anything similar to hay, has a prohibition of svichim, because the fact that the stalk fell in to the wine and now imparts the taste of the wine asks the wine. So we see that stalk has a din of svichim.
We're saying it's machal behemah.
Yeah, we're saying that the stalk is a din of machal behemah, yet nonetheless it asks it because it's like tevin. Says more Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Mona said no. Tipat the ketusha shvius lebiur. Could be that this whole Bryce is talking about prohibiting the wine into which the fenugreek fell, not because fenugreek or any other machal behemah svichim. Maybe it doesn't. But rather, here we're talking about asering the wine into which it fell because this fenugreek has kedusha shvius, not of svichim, but kedusha shvius that generates a chiyu biur to eradicate it when the right time comes. Place at shvami nukum. There, you can't extrapolate from here anything about the status of hay. So it's brought down here. that hay does not have the prohibition of snichim. Halacha maisa, that's the way we pass it.
But it does
only because of the shvi'is, not because of svi'ichim. Right. Which means you'd have to do beer on it or something like that. But yeah. No, because it's malcha behema. Well, the toy back is no same time, right? You can put a taste in some. Okay? Says the mission further. Mishnah Valachaba. Somebody who has fruit from the Shemitah year. The Yigosh has to be in the time beer comes. What does he do with the fruit? Mechalik Mazan shows to his Kolech Vechot. He can give the amount of food for three meals to each one of the members of his household. That's permitted. Now, who can, once he did biur, vaniyim ochlim achar biur. Only poor people can eat after the biur. Avalo ashirim and not rich people. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi omer, echad aniyim vechad ashirim, ochlim achar biur. Once the biur, doesn't matter who comes along, anybody can eat the stuff. Whether it's rich people, poor people, makes no difference. Right. So the Gemara is going to speak about that. My time, though, you let's not try to reveal the true distinction between Anim and Ashir. Between rich people and poor people. To receive it, because it says, Bachlu ev yonei amecha. The poor people of your nation shall eat after Biur. For Yitzum, the rest of the stuff, Tochachai Sesod, it'll be eaten by who? By the animals. So that Shem donate portion, it's possible there's no portion allotted to the rich people. My time, the Rabbi Yossi, what's large, Rabbi Yossi says that everybody gets, because he dachshins, v'achlu ev yonei amecha v'yisrom. Let the poor people in the nation eat, and also the yisrom, the people who have excess. Meaning even the rich people should eat as well, according to these parameters. So he doesn't draw a distinction between, distinctions here, and he says that both Aniyim and Hashem can eat equally after the biur has taken place. Now, however, we have a third shita. Tan Reb Shimon Omer, Hashirim Ochli Mina Otsar Achar Biur. Rich people can eat from an Otsar, from a gathering, after biur has occurred. Now, this is a very interesting halacha. Biur has to be done by private individuals, but if Basin somehow exercises a power of authority over the distribution or the warehousing of the fruit, so then no biur is necessary. Is that clear?
They go into people's houses and say, "Can
we
take it out?"
No. They don't do biur. Any food which is in an Otsar basin is not liable to biur.
Is that like a legal fiction?
It's a legal fiction. It doesn't belong to anybody.
So you can be mocking at the best in?
Right. Okay. Legal loophole. Okay? So that's what it says here. B'shem me'ar shem ochli min Otsar achar biur. Aniyim can eat outright from the field after biur. Hashem can only eat from that which is kept in the Otsar over biur. My time, Rav Shem, what's the last Rav Shem? What Pasuk teaches this? The Yisrael Achlu of Yonei Amcha. The poor people in the nation will eat Ad Yisrael. It continues the Pasuk until the word Yisrael, which teaches us I forgot I learned the pasuk. Yeah, it's similar to the previous Tana. In other words, that there has to be a way for the Aniyim to be able to eat because it says, V'chuy of your name, Chad Yisrael. So how does he reconcile to? How does he make it that they could have a case where Hashem can eat, yet at the same time they cannot eat directly? So therefore, he says there's a kakatz of Otsar based in from which they can eat, right, without having to actually do biur. But if their own private stuff, they of course have to do biur on it. What? He's learned it for the rest of the pasuk. The Yisrael with the leftovers tochel chayas asoda, being by the beasts of the field, puts comma differently. Okay? It's interesting, Chaznish here, he brings down, says that when the time of Bir comes, you don't know exactly which day it's going to be necessarily, right? Because it's not, it's hard to know a precise date. So it says you have to do it over and over and over again. Once a day.
The setting up of the Otzer?
No. Being mafkir, renouncing your ownership. Yeah, the real thing. According to me, you have to do the real thing. So you have to do it each and every day because you don't know when the actual head falls. Okay? Let's go back to Mishnah. Mishnah appears Shvish, Naflo B'Yerusha, if somebody had fruit of Shemitah which fell to him as an inheritance. Oshinaslo Matana, they gave it to him as a gift. Rabbeleza says he gives it to people who are eating on his table, but he himself cannot eat it, and the more will explain why. Say, let the sinner not be rewarded, and that now he has to spend less money to feed his family. They should be sold to other people to eat, or they could be sold to the people even at his table, but the value then has to be divided up among other people. He can't, the owner who inherits it, cannot keep the value for himself. Okay? Says more, let's go to Gemara. Amar Shimon Lakish. Shimon Lakish said, the peros avido yimazis. Now I'm just talking about fruit. Okay? Says the Gemara, Vatani, didn't we learn? If you find fruit which Aveiro was done on them, and it was the beer was not done to them, you're not even allowed to touch them. Just leave them where they are. So how can our mission with giving you some matzahs, what you should do, you should just leave them where they are. That's it. So says the Gemara, Tambon Metzia. There, we're talking about a case of Metzia, so therefore, well, I skipped the word Shanyoi. There it's different. Tamon Metzia, there it's a Metzia, don't pick it up and you won't have any responsibilities. Acha, but here, Shinovla, Akarcho, you got his Yerusha, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna renounce the Yerusha? So therefore, we have to make this Pshar and this compromise Shita. Rabbi Elchamer, Bechafi, Roseter, Bepe Roseter, he must eat it. Our mission is telling you about not just fruit which is forbidden, but rather even fruit which is permitted to be eaten during Shemitah. It says when it payos hetzer, it's talking about fruit which is permitted to eat during Shemitah. So why, if that's the case, Rabbi Elazar says you have to give it to somebody else to eat, why can't you eat it yourself? It says you have to give it to the people who are members of your household. Why can't you eat it yourself? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Shamutihi. Rabbi Elazar is from the students of Beis Shammai. Utsinah, we learned Ochlim Perushvius Shalom Betova Kedivere Beis Shammai. When you eat Perushvius, you can't have gratitude to the person who gave them to you to eat, because they're like a foreign entity now. So if that's the case, so we say, like Beis Shammai, he can't derive any benefit from it. So if he, he can't derive benefit, I take that. He can't express any gratitude for it. He's not allowed to express any gratitude or harbor any feelings of gratitude. So therefore, he can't eat himself, because then he'll harbor feeling of gratitude to whom? He can't eat himself. Why can't he eat himself?
In other words, he won't think of it himself.
He's got to give it to Marin's family, and he cannot eat himself. Why cannot he eat himself? Because then he's going to have gratitude to the deceased. No, the deceased. It was a bequest. Or it says, Mishnah Matana. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be a dead person, but the person who gave him the gift. He's not allowed to have gratitude to anybody else, so he gives it to the member of his household to eat. Right? So it won't be his gratitude. He won't be grateful. Oh! So that's what they said to him. That's what Rabbanan said. Isn't the sinner getting rewarded? In other words, this way, they're going to have gratitude to him. So therefore, b'shitas or shavu, they respond to him in shita. They said b'shitas chashata. Amen. He does the lochleyan. According to you, said they should be given to the people on his table. Ein achoit in this car is not the sin rewarded. El imachru. So if that's the case, let them be sold to third parties, and let the monies go to other people. So that way, nobody will be grateful to anybody else. Everybody will be mean and miserable, and not me, but distressed. So that's much better, because then there won't be any gratitude. Okay. Rabbi said. Hold Rabbi Yossi said, "Relay Kurnasaya by artichokes that were not eradicated during Shemitah. In other words, the bee was not performed on them. Sheyelchemosem liomelch, you have to take a corresponding value to the artichokes and throw it into the Yamamelch into the Dead Sea. So that's true. He brings that here, even though." Artichokes actually cost more to prepare than they're worth. Anybody here like artichokes? What? But they can't be, you don't know what they are? What do they look like? Yes. No, that's asparagus.
They're made sort of a bunch of leaves. That are around it in a circle around the heart of the artichoke.
There's heart of artichoke too.
Heart of the artichoke.
No, that's not that. Hearts of palm are whitish.
And you pick off a leaf and you eat the bottom part. The part that grows is attached to the stem.
The Medrash brings down. It says when an Adam Rishon was cursed, it says Kotz v'dardar yatzmiach loch. Thorns and dardarim will grow for you. So the Medrash says dardar is artichoke.
Well, that's where you're supposed to clip off the top of the artichokes when you cook them. Otherwise, they hurt.
Yeah, they're thorny. So, boy, you're a real Bronx boy. Do you eat any vegetables? So, at any event, so we like artichokes too. It's a big thing about in our family. So in any event, so the artichoke, I might think that you don't have to. You have artichoke past the biur, so it might not be also bad, no, because artichokes actually have to spend more money than they're worth in fixing them up and cooking them and preparing them. So no, nonetheless, you have to take the value of the artichokes and throw it into the Amamelach, because now you have to derive any Hanoa, Peir Shemitah, which were kept after the biur. Okay? They're prohibited. Okay, says Mr. Further, going back to the Mishnah. Oh no, not yet. Sorry, scratch that. Let's go furthermore. Right, Monashel Rabbi Chizkia. Totally unrelated issue. Out of left field. And Mona asked Rabbi Chizkia, Mao Mayabla Kfun, Mayab means to bring. Kfunin, can I bring small dates of Shemitah La Ashkelon to Ashkelon? Amar Lasi said also it's forbidden. Now why do you have, I mean, because we learned that Ashkelon was a city which was
outside of
Eretz, was right next to Eretz, and therefore there was no Tumas Eretz Amim on it. So therefore Shavuot said he could bring Peir Shemitah there, said also it doesn't matter, it's still prohibited. Rabbi Chizkia Avachai B'shukot de Kesori. Rabbi Chizkia was standing in the marketplace in Caesarea. Chamel chad toin olam min Yisura. Caesarea is chutzlaris. So he saw a certain individual loading up his donkey with Peir Shemitah, which should not have been there because it was chutzlaris. They should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So normally it's a mitzvah to help somebody out if he's loading his donkey. Hapachapoi! He turned his face around. Lo mechamine, in order not to see him, in order not to help him. Tani, another version has it, Parak, that he saw somebody unloading his donkey from this commodity. And he didn't look at them. Why is this true? Kadeshi Yasin Makoma Machir, in order to prove that Caesarea is from Chutz Laretz. That's why it wouldn't help, in order to demonstrate his displeasure. Shom Rabbi Yaakov Baach, Rabbi Yaakov Baach O'Herod, Rabbi Chizkia, did not help this guy out. Omer said, Ima Dahein Yaldabar, the mother, this is for Rabbi Chizkia, she gave birth to a real son, because he was a courageous, determined individual. Okay? Now we have a very interesting Musar Haskia. Rabbi Shimon Levi, have a mafaki, tell me, Rabbi Shimon Levi was living in Beit Shan. Now, Beit Shan, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had already declared to be chutz laretz, vis-a-vis Shemitah. So if that's the case, he's exempt there from Shvi'is. Nonetheless, he was machmir. He said to his mafaki, tell me, he said to his student, lo tizbun liyerek, you should not buy your vegetables, elam in ginsa de Sisra, except from the garden of Sisra, which is considered to be owned by a goy. So it's owned by a goy, so therefore there's no Kedusha Shvi'is there. So Kamal Eliyoza Chorda Tov. So Leo got up and visited Rabbi Shimon Levi. He said, Zil Omer, he visited Rabbi Shimon Levi's student. So he said, Zil Omer Rabba, go tell your Rebbe, Leis Hadog Ginsa de Sisra. This is not Sisra's garden. The Udoi Yavas, who was a Jewish garden, the Katle Goy, and a Goy killed the Jewish owner, Venasimine took it away from him improperly. So therefore, Yo Chumra is doing you no good, because you were thinking of buying from a non-Jewish field to Jewish field. The owner was just murdered. However, you don't have to be machmir on Beit Shan, because Rabbi Ray said Beit Shan's Chutzor, so your pursuit of a Goy's land in Chutzlaretz, that's totally too machmer. Says more in boys machmer am nafshach. You want to be machmer yourself? Ishtavu el chavruch. So check the same type of chumra that your friends are being machmer. Meaning things have to do with their cheretz. Things have to do maybe with brachas. Who knows? Whatever the case may be, he's saying to him, don't make obscure chumras. If you want to be machmir is something which is a normal accepted fashion of chumra, but don't start making severe chumras like this. Don't start making chumras which are, you're not that you're severe, but are unique unto yourself, because ultimately you'll find that either they'll make you bow gaiva or they're just plain wrong, and therefore those chumras should not be adopted.
So follow the established chumras, don't start making them.
That's right. Or follow the established areas in which chumras are accepted.
Well, except originally a chumra that was now established was
kashan amaisa. That's what it's saying. Okay, let's finish the parak now. We'll go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Last line of Mishnah. Ha'ochem isa shvi'is, somebody eats the dough from a Shemitah year. Ad shalur machalosa, before the chal is taken off, chayim isa, is liable to death. Why is that? Because even peyer shvi'is are chayim nechala. Chad bar nasha v'chad shir shmita. So a certain individual, kum isa here, a certain individual who was suspect to transgress Shemitah. Amar le'ita say, so he said to his wife, Apkin chalos, you know, when I bring you home the grain and you make the dough, take off chalo. Homelisha said to her husband, Ha'ukah v'choshya shmita, listen, Yanko, you don't keep shmita, but Omer apkin chalos, and you want to keep chalo. Come on, give me a break, what's going on here? So Yanko said, Omelisha said, no, I'm consistent here. Chalo medivri Torah, chalo is the right side. If we chalo, that which should have been chalo, we get zapped. Shvi'is for Gamliel Chavir. Shvi'is for Zana said, it's only the Rabbana from Gamliel and his buddies that I'm willing to transgress. So he's willing to transgress the righteous, not willing to transgress the Rabbana. Exact opposite. He's willing to transgress the Rabbana, he's not willing to transgress the righteous. Okay? What? Yeah, there was no zapping.
No snake fighting
took place here. Okay, let's start the new parak. Did we do a blight here, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, the next blight is short, as you notice. Let me just get a cup of coffee. Now we're going to change gears. Now we're going to speak about Prusbul. Prusbul. Well, Shemitah's Ksofim. You know, for Esam Masechta, we're going to talk now about Shemitah's Karkos, but Shemitah's Ksofim. When did Shemitah's Ksofim take place? Who remembers? It was Shem the 8th year. Right. That's correct. That's going to be critical in our proof of the issue. Yeah, probably in several places, of course, that Gittin most specifically. Okay. Says the Mishnah. Now, Lochal. I have Shvitz Mishametis Samalveh. Shvi'is cancels a loan. B'shtar, whether it's written down or shlo b'shtar, it's a verbal loan. Hakovas achanus, if you owe a grocery bill, ainam shametis. It's not canceled by Shemitah. We must so mill that if, however, the storekeeper has demanded from you payment, and by that made it a loan, or he has set aside time by which you have to pay him, which is also tantamount to making a loan, I raise the Mishami, then Shvi'is does cancel that debt. Rabbi Yehuda Amir says, Harishon Rishon Mishami. If a storekeeper extends you credit space to buy salami today, the Lord extends you credit to buy cornflakes, so then the salami is now a loan. The cornflakes is not. As each new extension of credit takes place, the previous one becomes a loan. Okay? The status of the previous extension of credit changes when new credit is extended. Credit is not canceled by Shemitah. Because there has to be a repayment demand on the table. Or scheduled payment. Otherwise, it's not called a loan. Right, and
so
by
right. Isn't this just a takara to help commerce?
Nope, doesn't seem that way. It seems like he's saying this is mamish talacha. These are not commercial takaras. Okay, sacher shtchar sacher. Eno mishamit. The wages of a worker are not considered to be mishami, they're not canceled by Shemitah. Otherwise, all the yeshivas would cancel all their Rabbeim's salary, right? You must sell milveh if you made it into a loan because you demanded it or a time was set for it. I raise the mishami, then it is mishami. Here's a very interesting thing. Any work which stops during Shemitah, Shemitah is mishami. The she'enu pesekur shemitah, which work which doesn't start during shemitah, ainu mishamet. The shemitah does not interrupt it. It does not cancel. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Okay, let's go to the Gemara now. Nicha shelo b'shtar. I understand why a loan which is not written into a document is canceled by shemitah. But b'shtar, if a loan is written to a document, b'yaseh k'mal v'mashkon, let it be considered as if it's a loan on collateral, because once you have a loan written down, it does have collateral, right? All the guy's properties are considered to be under lien to the loan. So have a lo yeh mishamit, and let it not be mishamit, because we learned that a loan with a lien is not mishamit. We're going to see that later on, because it's considered collected already. Because he has the lien. Okay?
Anytime you have a mortgage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any type of
put up. That would not be canceled by Shemitah, a little mortgage, right. Okay? What? No difference. No, he said about the mortgage itself, which is like a secured loan, so as collateral. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan said, Tipat b'shtar shebo achrayis nilchasim mitzvoy bar armish mitzvoy bar shtar, where there is no guarantee of responsibility. Chameo said that where the guarantee is not overt, it doesn't exist. As uvdu kum Rabbi Yochanan, so this case came from Rabbi Yochanan. B'shtar shebo achrayis, the shtar in which the achrayis is not written. It didn't say that his property is under lien. And he said that nonetheless Shemitah cancels that loan. Why is that so? Why is that so? Because he said, just because we learn from the I didn't make something clear here. I apologize. Let me go back for one line. Asu de Karabi Yochum Mishtar Shem Ba'achrayis. We don't pass the Karimir. We pass the even of a star doesn't have a Achrayis written in, the Achrayis is implied. It was that there is a lien on land, regardless. The default attitude which we have against a Milveh Mishtar is that automatically it entails a shibud nechasim. By definition, the borrower's land and property is under lien to repay the loan.
Every milvah b'shtar on that.
What?
You're saying every milvah b'shtar.
Right. Every milvah b'shtar automatically even doesn't specify that aspect. So in that case, a shtar shem achrayis came from Rabbi Yochanan lechor shnat b'mashamit. According to what I just said before, because he said if there is karkos and if there is a collateral involved, a lien, so then it's not mashami. And here there is a lien, right? So we could just say that in our shtaros, even if they don't have a Christ, it's if a Christ is written, so there is a lien. If there is a lien, so therefore Shmi should not be mashami. So our ma'aser said, just because we said alumdus, you think we're going to follow that in Pesach Halacha? In other words, I said alumdus that Shviyah should not cancel debts which are written into a shtar because there's a lien. That's nice, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah says that it does cancel those kinds of debts as long as there's it's not overtly made into a loan, so Shviz does cancel. So therefore he says, I cannot, because I said a nice loan to explain why that should not be the case, you cannot go by me, and therefore we have to say, the machmism that Shviz cancels this debt. Which rule?
About what's canceled,
it's all going to be smart. We're going to see it later on. Okay? Not all. Well, we're going to see them. We're just going to discuss this issue. I'm going to be here. Said, B'shein lo karka. This is only if the Amish is talking about a star which has achrayas, there is a lien, but he has no land. So if there's no land, lo nin, right? No tiki, no washi. There's no land, there's no lien. There's nothing to talk about.
I just want to get something straight. So are we now saying that, before we were saying that every shtar automatically
creates a Christ in the chosim. And we're sticking with our guns.
So it doesn't make a difference what the shtar says, whether it's a Christ in the chosim, not a Christ in the chosim. It automatically is a Christ.
Right. Is that a problem?
Yeah, but I just don't understand why the Gemara is talking about labels which are inapplicable. We're talking about milva, shtar, she'engol, achrayis.
Because our Haminu say that our mission is going like Rav Meir. Because the mission is prior to the way we pass with the halacha. And food. So it's going like Rav Meir. So then I would say the only shtar right. Only shtar she'engol, achrayis, the chosim has a lien, otherwise there's no lien.
So it's only to satisfy our possibility
of our discussion of the Mishnah, right. It says the Gemara, I'm Yeshlo Karka, I'm Rabbi Yossi. So I'm Yeshlo Karka, let me, again, I'm Rabbi Yeshlo Karka, talking about where he has no real estate. I'm Yeshlo Karka, but he has real estate, and I'm a Shamit, and Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. I'm Rabbi Yossi, said, I feel Yeshlo Karka, Nami Mashamit. Even if he's got land, it's still Mashamit. Why is that? Because he holds the land's lien is insufficient to consider as if it's collected. And that's an important point. He holds the only reason why Shemitah does not cancel a debt which is secured. A secured debt is because it's as if it's already collected. And the fact that you have a lien on the land is not considered to be as if it's collected. What would make it as if it's collected? Put on your thinking caps. What would make it as if it's collected? What? Better.
Signed by Adam?
What?
If the star is signed by Adam?
Why would that help?
I don't know. God may I guess. In fact, you have
so on. The lender. What?
So if the lender's holding the star, it's as if he has the land.
As if he has the why? No, so we say not that way. I'll give it away. It has to be an apotike. Apotike means designated collateral. A lien is not sufficient criteria to consider collected. It's got to be the specific parcel of land that's been designated to be the collateral. Okay? Is that clear?
Isn't the lien rather specific also? Just
generic. Okay. So it says Rashi.
It's a generic name, but it's a Portuguese.
No, Portuguese designate.
Yeah, designate.
No, he's asking a race.
In general.
Yeah. So Asa Rabbi Yossi Kirav. Rabbi Yossi statements like Rav Dama, Rabbi Yel, Yerubba Shem, Rav, 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 Yichilo Karka. If you designated land as collateral, ain't a mashami, then there's none that doesn't cancel law. So if you designate specific land, if you didn't designate specific land, then it is mashamit. Okay? Tani, we learned. Hamashabit saw it once around the track here. Let's discuss a little bit further. Hamashabit saw the lishto. You designate a field for your wife to be the collateral for a ksuba. Varlach, and he went, Umachara, and he sold that land. He sold the designated land. In what's illegal, say, Menem Mishana Chosim Goyim, she has the right to go to any other, to go to this person and collect the land back. This was designated for Ksuva. I'm Rabbi Lo, hey, Rabbi Lesser. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Take that back. I forgot a word there. She doesn't have to collect from that land. She can go to any other property which her husband has and collect her ksuba from the other property of her husband.
Did she collect from that land too?
Oh, so that's what we're going to discuss. So it says, where I'm Rabbi Yilu, Rabbi Yilu said, Hoy Rabbi Loza Kohen Tanya. I did this wrong. I knew I was going to do this wrong. I'm Rabbi Yilu. La hore Rabbi Lezer Kehain Tanya. Lezer Paskin like this Brightson. Kehain Tanya like this Brightson. Chavraya Bon, the Chavraya wanted, the Chabura wanted to say, Loti Belamina Chosim Mishubadi. Let her not collect only from the land which was designated. There was land which was designated to her. Why did she collect from any other land? Let her only collect for now. There's free lands in front of her, lands which weren't bought out by anybody else. Vata Martim and Shabbatim, you said she should collect from that which is put under lien to her, which was now sold. Better she should take whatever's left. Masnisha Bishloa Marlo Yeloch Piron Elamitu. And that's only where he didn't say to her, you have no right to any redemption except for this one. Avlima Marlo, if he said to her, Lo Yeloch Piron Ela Mizu, this is the only and exclusive place in which you can get your ksuva redeemed. And a goyev elimena, so she's got to go and take it back from the buyer, and it could be in order that she has something from which to collect her ksuva. Okay? Says the Gemara, Hamishabit Sodel Chaveru, the Chazar Umachra. Somebody who puts land under lien to his friend, as an apotheke, he says, your redemption should be from here. And then he sells it. No, it takes away from his credit, so to speak, and sells it. That sale is at least a temporary sale. Until they can sort out what's going on here. So the person who bought it, it's a valid sale temporarily. Maybe it's not even a valid temporary sale. Gmark asks an unwritten kasha on this. There's a halacha like this. A halacha says that you have an ox, which is a tam, which gored another ox. So that ox, the goring ox, is meshubat. Is under lien to the nizak, the person who's damaged, in order to pay for his ox. What happens if the mazik sells the ox which did the goring, which is under lien to the butt to the person who was damaged. So we say it's sold temporarily. It's sold temporarily. Until the Nizah comes and claims it, it's considered to be sold. So that's a Kasha Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi says here that there is no temporary sale. It was Meshubah to a creditor, so then even a temporary sale is not a valid sale. So how do we reconcile Rabbi Yossi with the same which we have by short time, which says that that if it's sold temporarily, the sale is a valid sale. It says more chelid Rabbi Yossi. The answer Rabbi Yossi is mina does from the following dichotomy: shor motzu lavricho by an ox. So it's very easy to get it to run away, to escape, to flee. And therefore, the owner of the field says, you know what? Even though my ox was home today, so to speak, in other words, not the owner of the field, sorry. The owner of the Nizak says, even though it's my ox that you have at home today, I don't want to rely on that ox. Because oxen disappear very often. So I want you to pay me back for the damages, cash. So there's no close bond between the ox and the person who was damaged. However, Sada Eina Mitzui Lavricha, since fields are hard to spirit away and hide, so therefore in that case, the fellow says, don't do me any favors. I want specifically the land which was coming to me, and I want the sale to you, which was even a temporary sale, to be disbanded immediately. Okay? Am I making myself clear? By an ox, I don't think I am. Let me try again. By an ox... I guess what I'm not making clear is like this. By an ox, the question is the claimant so make relying on this commodity as his primary means of collection? A claimant of damages, a nizak, is not going to rely on the ox which damaged him as being his source of payment. Because it's easy for the ox to get away, for the convenient slip away into the forest, exactly right. But by real estate, that's not the case. So therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, by real estate, the claimant relies on his primary source of reimbursement on the piece of land. And that's why they sell that piece of land on the part of the borrower or debtor. This is not even a temporary sale. It doesn't work at all. I think I made myself clear now.
No, you did. I don't think you said that.
No, I didn't.
I'm sure that the point is reliance. I think the point is the ox is a movable object, has a mind of its own, so to say. And
I just want to point out, it's not the mind of its own, but it's the mind of its owner.
The owner. Right, because we have Bolivasa, yeah. They send them to the forest.
And right. Whoops. Yeah. It slipped through his fingers. So that's what's saying here. Rabbi Yossi says, normally I say that the sale of the land is null and void, because the primary reliance of the creditor is on that land. But here by the ox, I say it's a temporary sale, because anyway, the claimant is not relying on the ox as primary source of collection, because he knows how these things are easy come, easy go. Okay? Hagatz mecha. And let's imagine it this way. Now, this is again a question, Rabbi Yossi. Says, well, wait a minute. Let's imagine this situation. Isn't it not possible to conceive a situation in which the debtor will sell the field to a Baal Zroa, muscular guy, literally, which means a fellow who won't give it to the person who wants it as his primary source of collection, won't give it to the claimant. So that's the case. The Gemara is asking, if your issue is that the claimant feels nervous about not getting paid, therefore is not fully somichtas, so he should never be fully somichtas even on the field. Because who knows, maybe the debtor will turn around and sell it to somebody who's a violent, difficult person to get along with. And then he'll never get it back.
Can you go to Basin?
Basin can't do anything. When Basins were Basins, but at this time already they couldn't force it. But Mark is a very interesting answer. Rabbi Yudha, the father master, said, you know what? Mitzui name Bali Zorli Po. Tough guys fall. Justice prevails. Yeah, well, Tati is going to. So, So says the Gemara, another kasha on Rabbi Yossi. If somebody wrote a appeal to be designated klal for his wife, b'ksuvasa for ksuva, ulabal chayva chovin for his creditor on his dad, umechachon he sells it, ha'reisu mechucha. At least the temporary sale it is. V'alkech yochush le'atzmo, the buyer should beware that he might lose it any minute, but a temporary sale it is. It's kash Rabbi Yossi. So it's where Mastisuk sh'omar lo, lo ye'el chapiron mizu. This Bryce is talking about a case where he says this should be your designated field, but he didn't say lo yel chapiron elamizu. That's where it says ma pligin. Where's Malukas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan and Ravacha actually when he said I only want your collection to be from here and nowhere else. Which where you limit the collection to that exclusive field. So that case Rabbi Yossi says any sale there for that field is null and void, even a temporary sale. And Rav Achol says the temporary sale does go through. Rabbi Yamas Rav Amar Pogma, a woman who after her husband's death starts collecting her ksuva, even though she didn't demand her entire ksuva from the her father's from her husband's heirs. Or vice versa, Zogfa. She set a payment date for Ksuva. Ava Bishlok Pogma, even though she didn't collect part of it yet, in both these cases, she loses this, Shemitah's Meshamit. In other words, normally Shemitah's not Meshamit Ksuva, because it's not due yet. But the moment she starts collecting, or starts demanding it, so it's considered to be a loan. That reverts the status of ksuva to a unique instrument, the status of a loan. Rabchir said, however, in order to convert a ksuva to a loan, in order that it should be considered to be canceled during Shemitah, it has to be achitivkon that she starts collecting vitiskov and she demands payment also of the rest. You need both elements. She shouldn't demand it. Or she should demand it when Shemitah is not around the bend. Right. Well, tough. That's what we're saying. Okay? Says one further. You don't have this header. Rabbi don't marry Rishon Gochuli. You don't have the right. You start from him nay. Okay, Rabbi Yudah said the moment the storekeeper extends a second time credit, the first credit extended becomes a loan. So he has more nation makilo pavshi and asis for shorter milva. Just because he extended him credit a second time, the first time becomes a loan. Says more yes. Kai dam Rabbi Lezer, that like that Rabbi Lezer says in the adjacent in the Mishnah. We haven't seen it yet, but we'll see it imminently. To Rabbi Yudah. The Gartner Blood said it's going like Rabbi Yudah. Now, this is a case which we haven't yet seen, and the Gemara assumes that we know it because we should have learned the end of the Mishnah before we went on to the Gemara, but the Kavanaki didn't do that. But let me tell you what the case is. Case is like this. Erev Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year. They think it's Rei Rosh Hashanah. They're basically determined it's Rei Rosh Hashanah. So a storekeeper split up meat of an animal slaughtered that day for them to eat and distribute this meat. Then the animal drops dead. Animal drops dead. I'm sorry. Scratch that. Turns out that the next day will be Rosh Hashanah. The animal's dead. They gave out the meat. Shechted it, right. So it turns out that the next day is Rosh Hashanah. They made a mistake. They thought that day was Rosh Hashanah. They shechted the animal, covered the altar. They divided the meat. Turns out the next day is Rosh Hashanah. So when is Shemitah's Ksafim devolve? Shkia of Erev Rosh Hashanah. So they thought they were already past Shemitah's Ksafim. It turned out they were prior to Shemitah's Ksafim. So in this case, what happens to the butcher's debt from all the people who just took from him meat on Rosh Hashanah?
They didn't pay for it.
It was Rosh Hashanah. They couldn't pay. They thought it was Rosh Hashanah.
That was credit. That wasn't a loan.
Oh, okay. So says the Gemara. So the Gemara says there, or rather the Mishnah says, you say, you know what? Why don't you take a look at the Mishnah quickly? The Mishnah just says, "Ashochet it's a part of a chilka." Right after we read to, "Ashochet it's part of a chilka of Rosh Hashanah." If somebody shechts a part and divides up Rosh Hashanah, imi al chodesh bu, returns out that was a leap month, and next is Rosh Hashanah, mishamit. So then, the what the butcher's owed for the cow is written off the books. Mimlav, and if not, ain't a mishamit. Of course, it's after Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So then, there's no shmita. Now, concerning this, Rabbi Lezer said, why does this work, Rabbi Yehuda? Why is this debt canceled? It's like Rabbi Yehuda. Even like Rabbi Yehuda, I should say. So ask the Gemara, one second, why is that? Where's the claim? It's credit. Right. So says Rabbi Bo, b'shem Rabbi Zira says, became a Chiroi Lamino. Since the storekeeper trusted the people who took from him the meat on Yotif. So Kamisha Roy Latova Ave. Since what makes the loan? Either a claim or the sense of the borrower that he should be paying back. So if the borrower senses, this storekeeper, Yankel is such a tzaddik, he trusts me to pay him back, that in of itself makes it a loan. Now it's normally I don't feel a compelling urge to pay back credit. But here I do. Because I feel guilty. Because Yanko gave me a piece of meat on Rosh Hashanah and wasn't able to weigh it properly and wasn't able to write out documents properly. And he gave it to me and trusted me. I feel compelled to pay him back as soon as possible. That makes it a loan, and that's where Shemitah cancels it. Okay?
You could extend that to any unsecured oral loans.
You might. But it's not necessarily the same. It was asked to be some sense of obligation. Some sense of obligation like here. So that's what he said. He became a Chiroi Lamino since he was suitable to be trusted. Can be Chiroi Latova, obviously, ever the fellow feels compelled to pay back. Became a Chiroi Latova since he feels compelled to be demanded literally from. So therefore, can be Chiroi Lite Lamos, he feels compelled to pay the money.
But doesn't Latova focus on the storekeeper?
What?
Roy Latova focuses on the storekeeper, the language, rather than, it should be Roy Latova we're talking about.
That's true. You're right.
So it's the storekeeper?
No. Even though you're right, too bad. Right. It's Yerushalmi. The language is not ideal.
The other thing is, if he doesn't pay back the storekeeper, he's not going to be able to buy him the next time.
No, but the ironic thing is that here it serves the storekeeper actually as a terrible loss. Because since the guy feels a sense of obligation, it became a loan. And that's why when it turns out that it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, but the day before, it causes the loan to be canceled. Do you see? Became Troy Lutova, Kamisha Roy Litin Lamos. The car. Now, here it's the same thing. What we're really trying to explain is why the moment I extend you a second credit, the first one becomes a loan. And it's the same thing. It's because of my overwhelming sense of gratitude to you, the storekeeper, that you're willing to extend to me credit a second time, I feel an ethical obligation to pay back the first time, right?
The second that is also a loan, according to this sheet.
No, each one in turn makes the one before a loan.
Yeah, but even the last one, according to the Shita, is
no, a storekeeper extends credit to everybody. That doesn't give me a sense of obligation.
And he doesn't feel the sense of obligation to pay back both?
No, only the last one. He always feels more of a sense of obligation on the fact that the loan that he's now... I understand your story, but what the Yerushalmi is saying is that since now he's extending me an additional credit, I feel a sense of obligation on the previous credit. Okay? Since here he should be paying him back on the first credit, and it is not, Nasi's return to Milveh becomes a loan. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer Komaloch Shipo Sekus. Rabbi Yossi says any work which stops during Shemitah. Now, this Om Rabbi Yochanan Gon Charisha. Rabbi Yochanan says this is like plowing. You're not allowed to plow during Shemitah. So, guy, there was a worker who was plowing Erev Shemitah. Shemitah still comes, he stops. Can't work anymore. For the whole year, he's owed his wages. At the end of the year, Shemitah's Ksofim comes, the wages get canceled. Most wages don't get canceled, but this one does, because it stopped. Everyone's going to explain that in a minute. Shemilogi Shemarki Gon Binyan. Erev Shemitah, he was building for this fellow. Then Shemitah came to stop building. Why did he stop building? Not because he had to. That's what I was about to say. I'll die for Rabbi Yochanan. Come lach shiposekos b'shvitz any melacha which shvitz requires you to stop becomes then the wages then become a loan. No, it makes no difference. I'll die to reish lachish could reish lachish come lacha shiposekos melacha. Building stops because nobody has money to pay contractors anymore. Right? Because there's not enough money. There's not enough cash for building during Shemitah, right? So building doesn't stop because Shemitah mandates that it stop, but just stops on its own accord. Okay? So now, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi said that we're talking about here, plowing is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Omar, Rabbi Yossi says, Kom loch shiposekesh b'shvitz mishametes, any melacha. Oh, this is a kasha. It's a kasha. I've preferred word ma. I glossed over. So in any event, so the Shah, before we go on to this, I don't know if we'll actually be able to read this tonight. But the Gemara is saying like this. The Gemara is saying, Koin Rabbi Yochanan. When does it become a loan, the wages? When it's work which can no longer go on. So since it can no longer go on during Shemitah, so therefore I'm no longer an employee. The money owed to me now at this point becomes a debt, and therefore Shemitah canceled it. Rabbi Yossi takes it even a step further. He says, even though I could theoretically go on during Shemitah, because I was working in construction, since construction doesn't go on during Shemitah in actuality, so therefore it's as if I'm no longer an employee as well, and therefore that which is owed me becomes a debt, and therefore it's canceled. Well, I say, Rabbi, what did I say was? No, I meant Reish Lakish. I'm sorry. I meant Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara goes on to another issue. Does Rabbi Yossi hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are arguing what Rabbi Yossi said. Whether Rabbi Yossi is referring only to plowing or even to building. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omar, Kom Malach Shiposek V'Shvitz Mishamet, it's any work which ceases during Shemitah, Shemitah cancels the wages. V'Sha'ena Posek V'Shvitz, if it doesn't stop during Shemitah, Ena Mishametes, it doesn't cancel the wages. What is the old about Rabbi Yehuda's statement? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda said, what is the old about credit extended? Does he hold that extended credit also is the same idea, and Shemitah is Mishametet? Or is the old extended credit like Rabbi Yehuda? And Shemitah's not Mishamit extended credit. We don't know. The Gemara doesn't answer. What do they agree to each other or not? And vice versa. Below Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yehuda now hold with Rabbi Yossi? Afa God, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Ein Derech Hashulchan Ilios, Notei Nisa Chu Notei Lasadina. Even though Rabbi Yehuda said that extending credit, the second credit makes the first credit alone because of this idiomatic logic used here of a money changer doesn't give more money until he gets the first money. So here the second credit turns the first credit into a loan. But what about the wages? What about wages? Does he hold the same thing about wages? Perhaps he holds that by wages also, the wages now become a debt incumbent upon the employer, and therefore they Shemitah cancel it. Or does he say, no, an employer remains an employer until he's paid. An employee remains an employee until he's paid. Since wages by definition are paid at the end of the work, right? So you're always an employee until you're paid. It never becomes a debt. And therefore, Shemitah never cancels that out, and we don't know. The Gemara never resolves either question. You don't know what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda hold.
by the day, not by the end of the project.
It still makes no difference. That's true, but the shaila is whether you lose your status as an employee as a result. Or it's even on a per diem worker. Could be he still retains the status employee until he's paid. He's an unpaid employee. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva. But he's not, he's still an employee. He's not a creditor. So that's a question. Rabbi Yossi regards it being a creditor at the end of that day, or at the end of that piece of work, or the end of that contract. Even in stop middle, the shiloh is whether that's in fact the case, and whether Rabbi Yossi would agree with that. Okay, we'll have to stop here for tonight.